Chapter 35 begins a new part in the first section of Tanya. He goes back to the pasuk, the verse, which is the mission statement of Tanya. Ki karev elecha adavar meroid b'ficha uvilvavcha la'asoysoy. Emphasizing the word la'asoysoy. That this thing of Torah and mitzvahs is close to you in your mouth and in your heart to do. Action. By exploring the objective, the purpose of the creation of the Beinoni. The character of the Beinoni discussed at length earlier in the Tanya. Why does his soul come down to this world when he never really wins the battle? When his animal soul from Klipa is never transformed, is never nullified. It remains intact till his last breath. Doesn't it seem that his whole battle is in vain, it's futile, when he could never really triumph in this battle? So the Alter Rebbe introduces a Zohar in Parshas Balak, which talks about the Shechina that rests over the head of the person. It's like a flame, a light on top of the head of the person. The body is the wick, and the Shechina is the flame. And for the flame to continue burning the wick, it needs oil. And the oil, the Zohar says, are uvdan tavon, are maisim tovim, good deeds. Why, asks the Alter Rebbe, do we need the oil, the good deeds as oil? Why isn't the soul the oil? Why don't we say the soul is the oil which keeps the fire burning? The soul is consumed in the flame of the Shechina which continues burning on our head. Why do we need maisim tovim, deeds? And the Alter Rebbe explains that even the greatest tzaddik who serves Hashem, nonetheless, it's a yesh misha ayiv. Meaning there is a reality here, there is a person here, there is an identity here who is independent, who fears God and loves God. Even the great neshama of the tzaddik, serving Hashem completely, you cannot say it's completely nullified in its reality. There's an independent person who's experiencing fear to God and love to God. Now, when the Shechina dwells somewhere, when we say God is present somewhere in a revealed way, it means that that particular thing where God dwells is totally nullified to God. Because God is one. And therefore, when God is somewhere, there's nothing else there. When godliness is revealed somewhere, it's the exclusion of everything else, because when the truth of God is revealed, the oneness of God comes across. So therefore, even the greatest love of God, the very experience that I love God, is already a contradiction to the true revelation of God. Because in the real revelation of Ein Sof, there's also the revelation of His complete unity, in which everything is nullified in His complete unity. It's only through mitzvahs and through Torah. Mitzvahs representing the intimate will of Hashem, where there's no concealment and there's nothing outside of His unity, where we can have the Shechina really dwelling in our lives. And that's why the oil is not the soul, the oil is the Shechina. Through Torah, the soul is connected to the Shechina, the divine soul. And through mitzvahs, physical mitzvahs, done with the body, different parts of the body, and the animal soul which animates the body, that's how the animal soul and the body becomes connected to the Shechina. And here in chapter 36, the Alter Rebbe continues to present what is the ultimate purpose of creation. The ultimate purpose of creation was Nisava Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael Dira B'Tachtayna. Hashem desired to have a home in the lowly elements of reality, meaning the objective of the creation of all of the universes was not that Hashem's light should be revealed and manifested in paradise, in higher spiritual worlds. And that was not the objective, because all of the highest worlds are a descent relative to Hashem Himself. The objective was precisely this world, the darkness of this world. Hashem wanted that we should take and confront the darkness of this world and transform it into light. This was something that doesn't exist in the higher spiritual worlds. This was something that doesn't exist, didn't exist before creation. All of the highest worlds represent God's light, but they are essentially a compromise. They are a dilution. It's diluted of God's light before creation. The real objective of creation was something new that is created only in this world, and that is to confront darkness and transform it into light. God wanted that we should make a home for Him in the lowest elements of reality. In that place of reality where His presence is completely concealed, where one can feel that He is the only thing that exists, where egocentricity can prevail. And it's in this world, it's in this reality, it's in such a type of heart that Hashem wanted that we should take this reality and bring the truth of godliness into it. This is the objective of creation, which will allow ultimately that in this world, when Mashiach comes, the essence of Hashem will be revealed more even than all of the light that exists in the higher worlds. Over there, God is revealed through garments that conceal Him. But it's here, through the transformation of darkness into light, that transformation allows for the essence to be revealed, as it will be when Mashiach comes, as it was on some level when the Torah was given. In chapter 37, the Alter Rebbe continues that this reality of the world of Mashiach, when Ein Sof, when the light of the Ein Sof will be revealed in the physical world, is created through our deeds and through our work today in the time of exile. The reward is generated through the mitzvah itself. Each time a Jew does a mitzvah, every time a Jew learns Torah, he or she is transforming a part of the universe. Here the Alter Rebbe presents a long explanation of how each mitzvah makes a metamorphosis, it makes a transformation in a particular aspect of a person's body, in a particular aspect of a person's animal soul, in a particular aspect of the universe. And thus, when we observe the 248 positive commandments and we abstain from the 365 negative commandments, we create a new type of world. A world in which Klipas Noiga, the translucent shell, is elevated to holiness. A world in which the three unclean Klipos cannot receive their nurture anymore. And a world in which the Ein Sof is revealed in this physical world. So what happens when Mashiach comes in a revealed way is generated through each mitzvah, one mitzvah at a time, that's done throughout the time of exile. At the end of chapter 37, the Alter Rebbe explains the contrast between learning Torah and how that changes the world versus mitzvahs and how that changes the world, explaining the advantage in each of the two relationships through learning Torah and performing mitzvahs. Chapter 38, the beginning of it, continues the end of chapter 37, which brings out the value of verbal communication, of davening, of shema, of benching, where meditation is not enough, you have to verbally say the words, because the objective is not to fix the soul, but to refine the body and the animal soul. But now in 38, the Alter Rebbe begins to explore a new theme. So essentially in 35, 36, 37, and the beginning of 38, the Alter Rebbe explained to us the value of La'asaisai, and the value of the life of the Beinoni, who does not transform completely his animal soul, but yet, through his or her struggle, they fulfill the objective for which God created the world, which was to bring the Shechina down b'tachtoinim, adira b'tachtoinim, to bring godliness into the darkness of their identity and into the darkness of the world, which allows for the world of Mashiach. This the Beinoni creates fully. You may say he loses the battle, but he wins the war. Through learning Torah, and particularly through mitzvahs, this dira b'tachtoinim is created, and hence his battle throughout the life is not only well worth it, but should be celebrated, because this essentially constitutes the purpose of creation. In 38, the Alter Rebbe now shifts course to explore the value of kavana. Till now, the focus was on la'asaisai, that even if the beinoni does not experience the level of emotions like the tzaddik and cannot transform his animal soul emotionally, he still has emotional baggage. Nonetheless, the fulfillment of Torah and mitzvahs in thought, speech, and action constitutes the objective of creation. But now the Alter Rebbe explores the value of kavana. Mitzvahs without kavana, davening without kavana, are like a body without a soul. It's like the relationship between the body and the soul. Both of them have energy from God. God animates the body and God animates the soul. There's no question. But the difference is, of course, that while God's light is concealed in both of them, in the body and in the soul, nonetheless, there's a difference between the body and the soul, where in the body, the life force is very contracted. It's animating finite, physical, inanimate matter. Where in the soul, there's a life force. So the life force is much more revealed and expanded. And Alter Rebbe explains that the same is true concerning mitzvahs. Just like in this world, God invigorates the body and He invigorates the soul. And more specifically, He invigorates doimim, tzemeach, chai, medaber, inanimate matter, vegetation, the animal kingdom, and the human kingdom, the human race. We also have these four levels in mitzvahs. There are mitzvahs that are defined by action. There are mitzvahs that are defined by words. And then there are mitzvahs that have kavana in them. And mitzvahs that have kavana in them, they have a soul in them. They are like the animal and like the person, because there are two types of kavana. One is an animal-like kavana, which is tuning in to your pre-programmed emotions. And one is a human-like kavana, which is creating new emotions based on meditation. So the Alter Rebbe explains that although God's essence is in each of the mitzvahs, whether there is kavana or whether there is no kavana, but kavana adds the dimension of soulfulness to the mitzvah. In chapter 39, the Alter Rebbe continues on this theme, that there are different forms of kavana, different forms of passion or intention to invigorate the mitzvah. As we said, there is the animal form, which is the Jew turning into his pre-programmed emotions of inspiration. And here he compares it to, in 39, to the different worlds. As we know, the Zohar says that Torah and mitzvahs without love and without awe don't soar upwards. When the Torah and mitzvahs have love and they have awe, they do soar upwards. So the Alter Rebbe distinguishes between two types of kavana, two types of love and awe. One is that which is compared to the animal or to the malach, who is called spiritually Chayos HaKodesh. This is like the soul of the animal who doesn't have choice, who's not an intellectual. His emotions are natural. So this is the Jew who tunes into the natural Jewish spiritual emotions. And his Torah and mitzvahs ascend to the world of Yetzirah, the world of emotions. Then there is the Jew who creates emotions based on intellect. This is the higher level of emotions which ascends to the world of Bria, the world of intellect. He describes also the avoda, the type of kavana which causes the Torah and the mitzvahs to ascend to the world of atzilus. And then concludes the chapter with Torah and mitzvahs that is done without any kavana, without any passion, without any feelings of love and awe. It's done just by habit, by routine. And this remains in this world. It doesn't have the power to ascend to the higher worlds. And then there is when Torah and mitzvahs is done actually with an ulterior motive for egotistical purposes and so forth, when it's encased in a shell of klipas noiga and waits for tshuva to liberate it. In chapter 40, the Alter Rebbe continues this theme and explains what is the meaning of Torah and mitzvahs ascending to a higher world through kavana, through love and awe. He explains, and here he elaborates and continues the theme of chapter 38 and 39. He continues it here in 40 and actually concludes it, that Hashem is identical, is present in all of the worlds. But there is a difference. In the higher worlds, He is less concealed. In the lower worlds, He is more concealed. There are much more garments. There's also something else, and that is, the higher worlds, the level of energy is a higher level of energy. In the lower world, it's not only more concealed, it's also a lower level of energy, and that's why it gives life to the physical world. And this explains the whole concept of Torah and mitzvahs going up. Torah and mitzvahs in this world doesn't have any concealment, so that the godliness is completely revealed. But the second issue of this world, namely, that it's a physical world, hence, the level of energy is a contracted level of energy. Not only is it blurry, but it's also contracted. It's very minute. It's extremely minute because of the limitedness of physicality that exists even in Torah and mitzvahs. So in other words, there are two disadvantages to our world. Number one, godliness is concealed. And also the level of godliness is a small level that is expressed, so to speak. If you want to give a simple example, we gave this in one of the classes. When you draw a picture on paper, you cannot have more than two dimensions, even if it's a three-dimensional object. Why? Because these are the limits that the paper confers upon the image. You can't go out of that. So thus, there's a certain level of energy that is expressed in the physical world. This is even in Torah and mitzvahs. When a person has kavana, when there's a spirituality that's transcendent, that infuses the Torah and mitzvahs, it elevates it to a higher world, and here its true energy, its true impact can be revealed in the person and in the world. Which explains why throughout Kabbalah, love and awe are called wings. Wings don't constitute the essence of the bird. The bird can live without them. But without wings, the bird cannot soar. So here, at the end of 40, 38, 39, 40, the Alter Rebbe completes his conversation about the value of kavana. Chapter 41 begins a new topic, which will continue till chapter 51, from Mem Aleph through Perek Nun. The Alter Rebbe discusses now that when we talk about the importance of emotions, love and awe, one must remember love is not enough. One must first arouse within themselves a basic Yirah Shamayim, a basic awe in the presence of Hashem. He demands of us to meditate before each mitzvah, before we learn Torah, on the truth that Hashem's reality fills all of the worlds, and yet He leaves go of everything and He individualizes kingship over this individual Jew for whom the world was created. Looking at every individual and examining how we are serving Him, this allows us to create a consciousness of Yira, a consciousness of awe that we must understand is the foundation, the source, and the root of Avodas Hashem. The Alter Rebbe goes on to explore various levels of this awe and how a person arouses it, and yet simultaneously we must also develop a feeling of love, and discusses various levels of love, the love where the person wants to connect to Hashem, and the love where the person wants to achieve L'shem Yichud, Kodesh Brichu, Shchinte, connect the transcendent God with the immanent God, and discusses the relevance of this to an individual soul. In chapter 42, the Alter Rebbe continues to develop how every single Jew can experience a basic, authentic level of Yiras Hashem, fear and awareness of Hashem's presence, which allows us to live moment to moment in a moral, ethical, meaningful, and inspiring way to fulfill Hashem's desire from us. He explains how the spark of Moshe Rabbeinu in each and every Jew gives us the ability to take our minds and pierce through the two major obstructions. The obstruction of the body, which doesn't allow us to feel God, and also the second thing, which is the obstruction of the soul, which doesn't allow us to think about something profoundly. It creates static. And it gives us the ability to pierce through both of these layers and to find the Oitzer Shel Yiras Shamayim, the treasure of God's fear, which is buried and embedded within the soul of every single Jew. And when that comes out, our days are transformed from this awareness. The Alter Rebbe elaborates throughout chapter 42, a very long chapter, on how the person can really come to internalize this type of Yira, awe of Hashem, and guide them every moment of his life. Guide him every moment of his life. Chapter 43 continues to explore a few levels of Yira. There's Yira Tata and Yira Ilah. There's the lower level of awe and the higher level of awe. Even in the lower level of awe, there is the smaller level, there is the larger level, Katnus and Godless. And then in love too, there is what he calls Ahava Rabba and Ahavas Olam, two levels of love, the love of the world or eternal love, and the transcendent great love. In chapter 44, he teaches us about another two forms of love to Hashem. One is the love that comes from realizing that God essentially equals life. And just as a person craves life, we love our life, we'll do anything to live. When we realize what constitutes our real life, we develop that type of feeling towards Hashem. The second type of love is the love that is reserved for a parent. The love the son has for a father, which is even beyond the love he has for himself. And this too is in the capacity of the Jewish soul, which experiences God as a father. And when we touch that fuse, when we arouse that fuse, we generate that type of love to Hashem, like the love of a son to a father. And the Alter Rebbe discusses how we achieve these emotions, how we internalize and access these two types of loves, explaining their powerful effect and greatness. In chapter 45, the Alter Rebbe explores another way through which the person can learn Torah and observe mitzvahs lishma, for the sake of God. Till now it was through love of God or through awe of God, because you cannot really do something for somebody else if you don't love them or you do not fear them. Here in 45, it's the path of Rachamim, Tiferes, the path of Yaakov Avinu. Through arousing compassion for the soul, through arousing Rachmanos for the soul, for the spark of God which came down so lowly. Explaining the verse where Yaakov meets Rachel and kisses her and weeps. Rachel representing the source of all of the souls. Yaakov embodying the midah of rachamim, the attribute of compassion. And he arouses compassion on her, which this type of compassion creates an inspiration in infusing one's Torah and one's mitzvahs. Chapter 46, the Alter Rebbe comes and gives us a new way, a direct path accessible to every person. And as he says, it is a very, very relevant way to arouse the light of love hidden in the Jewish heart, that it should come out in full revelation and it should burn in the revelation of one's mind and heart by meditating on the famous pasuk, Hamayim haponim leponim kein leva adam ala adam. The face we project towards water is the face that the water projects back to us. The heart we project to one person is the heart that person will project back to us. When I love you, automatically, instinctively, you love me. A heart that is filled with love towards its friend, that heart arouses a reciprocal love in his friend back to him. And the Alter Rebbe says, if this is true by two ordinary people, how much so when you're dealing with a great king who shows infinite love to a simple, lowly person who's stuck in the mud, and the king comes down and picks up this person and brings him into his private room. He embraces him and he kisses him. When the king shows him this type of affection, certainly, even if this man has a heart of stone, he will melt and be filled with love towards the king. And the Alter Rebbe says, think that this is exactly what happened between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, between Hashem and the Jewish people. Where Hashem is beyond the beyond, transcendent beyond all transcendence, and yet He let go of everybody. He came down to Mitzrayim and lifted up the Jewish people and gave them His most intimate self. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvayisav, He married us. Like a husband marries a wife and they become one. Torah and mitzvahs, Hashem gave us His most intimate self. This is what the person ought to realize. And in 47, the Alter Rebbe goes on to explain that the exodus of Egypt wasn't just an ancient event. Rather, in every generation and every day, the person ought to experience Yetzias Mitzrayim, because we have the ability to allow our divine soul to go out and to be liberated each day from the prison of Mitzrayim, to be included in the unity of Hashem through Torah, through mitzvahs, especially through Kriyas Shema. In chapter 48, the Alter Rebbe continues this theme and asks of us to appreciate and begin to contemplate on the Gdulas Ein Sof Baruch Hu. What do we mean when we talk about the Ein Sof Baruch Hu, the Endless One? Here is a chapter which discusses at length the meaning of the words Ein Sof, the Endless One. What is infinity? What does infinity represent? What is the relationship between the infinite God and the finite world? How Hashem had to contract His infinite light in order to allow for our world to emerge. And how Hashem's light is soiviv kolalim and encompasses the worlds. And Alter Rebbe explains at length what this term means. Soiviv kolalim and encompasses or encircles the world. In chapter 49, he continues this theme of the Ein Sof and the Tzimtzum, describing three great contractions that Hashem created within His light in order to allow for a finite world. Three major processes where Hashem shrunk, so to speak, His infinite energy in order to allow for our world to emerge. Why? Because He wanted a relationship with a finite, autonomous human being. He wanted the person to exist as an independent person. He wanted we should have a body, we should have our darkness, we should have our identity, and build a relationship with Hashem. And as the Alter Rebbe says, the love of Hashem towards us causes Him to shrink His infinity and create space for the human being. Hashem suspends His very infinity to allow space for the person. If He renounces Himself to allow us to exist, so then we ought to reciprocate, like the face you project to water, the water projects back to you. And renounce our ego. Renounce our appetites. Renounce our expression in order to create space for Him. Chapter 50, the Alter Rebbe summarizes and says, all the above levels of love discussed from 41 through 49 are connected to the right side, known as chesed, or kesef, silver. And then there's another level of love, the love which is compared to gvura, fire, the love which is compared to gold versus silver, a love that is characterized not by closeness, but by thirst, by tension, by yearning, which has great, profound energy and advantages over the other forms of love. Here he concluded the discussion on various levels of love and awe that began with 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, and 50. And now in the last three chapters of Tanya, 51 through 53, the Alter Rebbe goes back to quote the Zohar he quoted in 35 about the Shekhinah which dwells on our head, but it needs oil. The flame is the flame of the Shekhinah, the wick is the body. and it needs oil. The oil are the good deeds, Maisim Tovim. And now the Alter Rebbe explains, what does it mean that the Shechina dwells? What do we mean when we say the Shechina dwelled in the Beis HaMikdash, or in the Holy of Holies, or in a holy place? Hashem is everywhere. And here the Alter Rebbe begins a long metaphor from the human organism, where although the soul fills the entire body, yet the primary seat of the soul's energy is in the brain. The brain encompasses, through the nervous system, the whole life of the entire body, and the brain communicates this life to all the limbs and organs of the body. So although the soul itself, you cannot say, is in one limb more than in another limb, yet the revelation of the soul's energy is primarily in the brain, and from there it's distributed. And this is a metaphor for the Ein Sof. The essence of Hashem is nowhere in one place more than in any other place. It's everywhere in the same way, everywhere concealed, everywhere inaccessible to our finite comprehension and mode. The difference is, however, in the revelation, in the revelation. And here in chapter 52, he says, just like in the human body, the place of revelation is in the brain, the same is true concerning the great revelation of Hashem, known as the Shekhinah, known as Malka, known as Matronisa, known as Almadiz Galia, known as Imatata, known as Knesset Yisrael, known as Malchus. These are different names for this source. Its primary seat is in the brain, which represents Torah. Torah is the cosmic brain. Torah is the place, the garment which can encase and hold on to the revelation of the Ein Sof, and hence through Torah, it's distributed in all the limbs of the organs, in all the worlds, in all the universes, and in every detail. And that's the level of Kodesh Kadoshim in each world, where the Aron was, down here in the Beis HaMikdash, where the Luchis were, where Torah was. This is the place, this is the brain through which the Ein Sof is distributed. In chapter 40, from where the Ein Sof is distributed. In chapter 53, the final chapter of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe discusses the level of Kodesh HaKadoshim in the first Beis HaMikdash, and then the level of Kodesh HaKadoshim, the holiest of holies, which was degraded in the second Beis HaMikdash. And then after the Churban, where Ein Laila HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'ilam Eladal Ramas Shal Halacha, Hashem is to be found in the four cubits of Halacha, and there you have the revelation of Shekhinah. Like in the brain, you have the primary seat of the revelation of the soul. You have it in Torah. This is the concept of Ashras HaShekhinah. And this is, the Alter Rebbe explains what the Zohar means when it speaks about the Shekhinah, which is the flame over our head. And that flame needs oil, representing the mitzvahs, the 613 mitzvahs, which allows the Shekhinah, the light of Hashem, to hold on, to be contained by the wick, which is the body. And he finishes with the concept, just as in a physical candle, the way the fire burns is by consuming the wick, consuming the oil and burning the wick. And the wick is transformed into fire. The same is true also in the metaphor. The light of the Shekhinah dwells on the person and on the divine soul when the body and the animal soul become a wick which is consumed, a wick which is burnt, a wick which is transformed from darkness into light through this flame, whether it's by tzaddikim completely or by beinanim through the garments of the animal soul. Thought, speech and action, transforming it from the darkness of klipos to the endless light of Hashem through the thought, speech and action of the 613 mitzvahs of Torah. It's this burning up of the wick which allows there to be a continuous flame burning on top of us, the revelation of Hashem's light on the divine soul in the brain and in the mind of a human being. And he concludes with that famous pasuk, Ki Hashem Elokecha Esh Eichlohu. Hashem, your God, is a consuming flame. It's the flame that consumes, that eats up, that transforms the wick. Because the only way for godliness to burn in our lives, to burn atop of our heads, to permeate our lives with its light, we need the oil, which is Torah and mitzvahs. Without oil, which feeds the flame, we can't get anywhere. As the Alter Rebbe explained earlier, it's only Torah and mitzvahs which can feed the flame. But we also need the wick that is burnt up, the wick that is transformed into the flame, the constant avoida of taking our body and animal soul and allowing its thoughts, its words, and its deeds to be transformed from the darkness of klipos to Oir Ein Sof Baruch Hu, to light, to the light of the Endless One. Blessed be He. And as the Alter Rebbe finishes, this completes the first chapter of the first section of Tanya. Be'ezer Hashem Yizbarech V'Yisala. Have a wonderful evening.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.